We have been learning about the nativity story, and we have been dealing with each character in the story, in the scene, the nativity scene. We talked about Joseph and Mary, and then we talked about the wise men. And this morning, we also learned about the love of God being birthed on Christmas. Tonight I would like to talk about one other thing that we all may have a question about every once in a while. Many times we ask the question about Jesus and we look at the manger in particular. And we wonder, why the manger? If Jesus is truly who he said he was, then why the manger scene? Tonight, I hope that we can be able to learn that very quickly, why Jesus came in the manger instead of riding on a white horse or dressed like King Herod. When we think about Christmas, I know many of you, just like me, think about the gifts under the tree. But when we think about Christmas, we generally think about the gift under the tree. Or if you like me, for things like Thanksgiving and things like Christmas and so forth, I come back to all the things like turkey and pies and all of those kind of things. I got to watch myself because I said that for Thanksgiving and some people brought me some sweet potato pies. But we often think about those things for Christmas. Nothing wrong with thinking about those things for Christmas. Some of us even think about Christmas. We can look at Christmas as each year go by. We think, oh, 39, 40. But some of us, 50 and so on. We think about 60 is okay too, brother. But we think about those things as such. And then we also think about when we drive in a neighborhood and we see all of the lights and so forth. And then all of a sudden we see this scene of Jesus and then the wise men, Mary all standing around and the scene is so wonderful, and it's so such a real quiet and peaceful moment and so forth. You know, my friend, yes, it was some expectation for Jesus' arrival. But also, too, there were some difficult times during that time as well, too. You see, there were King Herod himself, he was a very ruthless king. And he ruled with an iron fist. In fact, King Herod was so ruthless, he even had two of his own sons killed because he was so ruthless. So we can see clearly that it wasn't just that little quiet, peaceful atmosphere that we want to think about. It wasn't just the smile of Mary and Joseph and so forth. There were some difficult times going on. However, we learned that God's plan had already been kicked into motion. And the night of Jesus' birth was just, all of it had came to a head, and God put his son on the scene. So we ask ourselves tonight, and why was Jesus born in a manger then? And we believe that he was the only begotten son. And we believe that he was the son of God. He had all the majesty and all of this kind of things. Why do we believe? Or why was he born in a manger? I believe the key to answering that question is to look back first and ask the question of why did we actually need a Savior from the very beginning. To be able to answer that question, why Jesus was born in a manger. If we're going to look back, we need to look back to the very beginnings. In Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 16 and verse 17, we read a story about a man named Adam and his wife named Eve. God has said to them that you can have everything out here. You can have everything out here. Take care of it for me. But he said, but don't touch this one tree. It's just like me telling my little kid, little or Kara, you can have all of these, all of this gift, but don't touch that one. Well, to make a long story short, they touched it. They took the fruit from the tree and they ate the fruit. You will say, well, what's wrong with them just eating a little fruit? Well, what's wrong with that? The problem is, God has said not to do it. And they disobeyed God. So when they disobeyed God, there was a consequence for them disobeying God. And the Bible speaks very clear of what that consequence was. He said that when the day you touch of this tree and you eat of it, you will surely die. That's what he said. And they died. They died. Some of you said, wait a minute, why didn't you see that part in the story? They died. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. And because of their spiritual death, they were dead, now separated from God. They were separated from God because they disobeyed God and they sinned in God's eyes. But oh, God is so good to us. You know what God did to them? You know what God did? In fact, it goes on to say that in verse 8 and 10 in the same chapter, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 10, Adam and Eve knew that they had sinned from God, knew that they had disobeyed God. And notice something. Before they disobeyed God, they had a perfect relationship with God. But when they disobeyed God, and God came to talk with them, what did they do? They ran and hid. They hid themselves. Why would they hide? Because it was the first time, that they actually felt some guilt and remorse for the sins. I'm sure that all of you maybe sitting here have probably been in the same situation. I remember the first time I did that, I lied to my dad. And I thought I got away with it. Until he went and asked my teacher. And he found out that I had did something naughty in class. And I heard the story, and my dad came and talked to me, and before he talked to me, I felt so much guilt in my life. I'm not for sure where you guys are at. But I'm sure that some of you can identify with me, feeling that guilt, feeling the remorse, feeling shameful for what you have done. That's the same way Adam and Eve felt at this time. But if you keep on reading in verse 21, you will see that, again, Adam and Eve, they did not die physically. But God had to take a life. A life had to be given. An animal had to be given for the sacrifice of their sins. That's why the scripture says in 21 that they were covered. God took some animal skin to cover them so that they would no longer be naked. Some of us sitting here and we have some remorse in our life. Oh, I believe that you're going to be thankful if you just reach out tonight and grab it by the end of this sermon. You're going to be thankful that God reached out to you. Here's the thing that you don't want to miss about this. Again, a life or an animal had to be sacrificed. Probably was a lamb. So we see that that was the very first sacrifice right in the garden at that time for man's disobedience, or man's sin towards God. Now we're going to move forward a little bit more. We went from Adam and Eve, and now we go to now a man named Abraham in the Bible. One thing that we need to really learn about the Bible is that when we read the Bible, we need to understand that every word in the Bible, every story in the Bible, it all points to Jesus and him being the Messiah. God came to Abraham because Abraham was a righteous man. Abraham had all that we would all want in life. He had many cattle. He had the riches. He had all of those things. And the Bible say that he was also righteous in God's eyes as well. And God said to Abraham that, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 to 6, I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants. So God gives the man Abraham a promise. And in that time, when there was a promise given, there was the people, when they made a covenant with each other, many times animals were sacrificed. That's why you will hear that some of the animals were split into half and all this kind of thing. Because they would do, what they would do is they would line up one half of the animal on this side and another half of the animal on this side. And the people who had made the covenant contract with each other, they would take hands and walk through the dead animals, signifying that they are giving their life to this covenant that they are making, to keep in line with this covenant they're making. They're giving their life. But this time was quite different. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 9 to 12, we see Abraham doing just what I just said about when God making a covenant with him. He says, so the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all of these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite of each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And if you will read along, continue on in that passage, you will see that God passed through this dead animal alone. Because God was keeping it, wanted to make sure he keep his covenant with Abraham. Why is this so important? Because God came back to Abraham again in Genesis chapter 18. And he said something to Abraham that kind of caught Abraham off guard. He said, Abram, I'm going to give you a son. You would think that Abram would say, yeah, God, thank God. Because Abram didn't have no one at this time. One of his house servant would be his heir. And Abram didn't have his own son to pass on things to him. But God had just told him that it would be through his son that he would bless the nation of the world. And so we come here to this story and we see that Abram, God says to him, I'm going to bless you with a son. But the thing here is that Abram was 99 years old. And his wife was 90. But God said, I was going to bless you with a son. Guess what Sarah did? She laughed. She said, what? How can I have a child when I'm past age? She laughed. And I'm sure many of us would have laughed too. Past the age of childbearing. And God says he will bless them. Well, later on we find out that God does bless them with a son, Isaac. And then God comes back to Abram again. And he comes to Abram this time and he tells Abram, he said, Abram, you see that son that I bless you with? I want you to take him up on the mountain and I want you to sacrifice him. Wow, if I'm like, I'm Abram, I'm thinking, God, what are we going to do? What are you doing here, God? You said he is going to be a blessing to the entire world. Through him, the world is going to be blessed, but you want me to sacrifice him now. And God said to Abram, sacrifice. So Abram did as God said. Whatever you want, God, I will do it. That's a key phrase there. Whatever you want, God, I'll do it. So Abram packed up his bag, he and Isaac, and then went up, headed out towards the mountain, went up the mountain, and Abram got to the point to where he is about to raise the knife to sacrifice his child. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, no, Abram, don't do it. God, I just wanted to test you. I just wanted to test you and see if you really trust me. Because it was your son, your one and only son. I know you love him. And he says, he pulls back. But you know what the story is here? Abram had actually told his son, because his son Isaac was asking him, hey dad, we're getting close to this mountain and we got to go up here and I don't see the lamb that's going to be sacrificed. And Abram told him, God will provide the sacrifice. Ooh, that is a key verse. That is a key saying as well. God will provide the sacrifice. Did you know when Abram raised up and God said stop, in the bushes, they heard a rustling around in the bushes. God had provided a lamb to be sacrificed instead of his son. God is faithful. Why do we have Jesus being born in a manger? There were many sacrifices. There were many sacrifices going on at this time because that was the way that people could have their sins forgiven. In fact, and particularly, there had to be an animal or a lamb slaughtered for the sins. And the people at that time would lay their hands up on the sacrifice and confess their sins. Because God had made a blood covenant with his people. In fact, it was so much so to where they had a place in Bethlehem where they raised lambs who were later to be sacrificed. And it's so interesting thing about these lambs. They were 1 year of age, 1 year of age. They were pure, and they were to be sacrificed for sins. And we can see as we move forward again, remember Eve? She disobeyed God. Sarah, she laughed when God said that she would have a baby. But when we come to the New Testament, we see a lady that we have learned about called Mary. And notice what God said to Mary, this young woman, that she would be pregnant. And of course, Mary asked the question, how can I be pregnant if I'm a virgin? And God obviously said that you will be made pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But the key thing here is that you notice Mary's response. When God said to her all of these things, she said, let it happen exactly as you have said. Very much similar to what Abraham said. Now Mary knew. Well, she didn't know at this particular time, but can you imagine all of you mothers that sit out here? Can you imagine all of the pain and the grief that she was going to have to go through by seeing her son slaughtered and hung on a cross? And she still said, let it be as you say. Perfect obedience. A perfect faith. So we can see truly that Jesus would be this perfect lamb who would be slain for the sins of many. John the Baptist, he said it. John chapter 1 verse 29 to 37. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing him with water. And so on, as we read along now. So we can see clearly that Jesus is going to be this sacrifice. To do what? Take away the sins of mankind. And we see in Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. While they were there, the time had come for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first son, her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Why in a manger? You can see Jesus, he was not born like we are accustomed to seeing babies born in a hospital room with a nice heat lamp, blankets, mom and dad standing on the crib, smiling. So happy to see them. And notice, notice who the angel came to talk to about Jesus' birth. He came to talk to shepherds. And you remember those lambs that were to be sacrificed in the temple for sins? Guess who were there taking care of them? Shepherds. So God sends his son into this world to be born in a manger, and he reveals that to shepherds who were very accustomed to taking care of lambs. But this lamb was quite unique. He did not have the furry coat on and the curly hat. But he was a human. What do you think? However, God diverted Joseph and Mary, because again, we see King Herod was here tonight, and King Herod wanted to deal with Jesus and put away with him because he was afraid of Jesus taking over his throne. Well, Jesus didn't come to take over his earthly throne. Well, 33 years later came. 33 years later, Jesus came. And we all know the story. Mary got a chance to see Jesus take that same old walk that Abraham did with his son Isaac. But this time, Jesus would have to give up his life. Jesus would have to be that sacrifice. Jesus would have to shed his blood so that our sins may be forgiven. We ask the question tonight, why did Jesus have to come in the manger? Jesus had to come in the manger because God wanted to provide the perfect lamb for sacrifice for each and every one of us. He wanted to provide the perfect sacrifice for each and every one of us. Oh, I love God for this one. In fact, I thank God that Jesus came to be Savior and the perfect sacrifice, lamb for my sin. Because I myself know that I was a sinner and that I had disobeyed God. I had sin in my life. And I know that because of that sin was in my life, that sin was going to keep me separated from God, not just here in this earthly realm, but throughout eternity. And it's something that I needed to do. I needed to come to Jesus. If he was the perfect sacrifice for my sin, so that I don't have to be separated from God, I needed to come to Jesus. Oh, do I believe some are sitting here tonight that need to come to Jesus, need to have their sin forgiven? Yes, I believe that. Don't find it strange, my friend, that God has brought you here tonight. God has brought you here tonight to show you that he has given up his life so that you don't have to lose your life. He has washed your sins away. All you have to do is just come to Jesus. Would you come to Jesus tonight? Coming to Jesus is simple. Coming to Jesus only means that I recognize that I cannot live this life by myself. I recognize that I cannot live in total obedience to God's word. Every time that I fall short, whether I fall short sometimes, sometimes I lie, sometimes I cheat, sometimes I have bad thought toward people. All of that is, in God's eyes, is considered sin. And because it's sin in our life, we are separated from God. So therefore, being separated from God, we will pursue everything else outside of God to try to fill that void in our lives. Many of us have hole in our life and we try to get material things. It's not going to do. Many of us look to people. It's not going to do. Only the work that Jesus has done on the cross is going to be able to get rid of that hole in our heart and get rid of the sin in our life so that we can be in right standing with God. So that we can, when we die, leave this earth knowing that I don't die. I may die in the physical, but I will live in eternity with God. That's why the Bible said that Jesus, he came so that we could live life and everlasting life with him. Jesus had to come in the manger to show us that God had provided the perfect sacrifice for our sins. It's not good enough to just know that, but we must make a decision. We must make a decision to come to Jesus. I would like to take this time to invite anyone that we may have out here. I would like to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus. I would like to give you the opportunity to repent and believe in the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that we shall be saved. You see, it's not going to be enough to just come to a Christmas program. And it's not going to be enough just to attend church and try to be good. That's not going to get it. What we need to do is that, again, to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. And he came and he died on the cross and he shed his blood so that our sin can be forgiven. Let us all bow our heads here for a minute. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night that we, Lord, learned that Jesus came to be the perfect Lamb of to sacrifice for our sins. Father, we come, Lord, to you tonight and we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, move on our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to, Lord, really see the need for to have you as our Lord's Savior. Father, I pray for those that may be sitting here tonight that don't know you, Lord, that don't have that personal relationship with you, Lord, I pray that they would come to you tonight, Lord. Oh God, I thank you for that, Lord. In this quiet moment while we all bowing our heads, if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him tonight, all you got to do is just raise your hand up like this to me, and I will pray for you. The Bible says that when we confess with our mouth Jesus be Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. I just want to pray with anybody in this room that do not know Jesus for sure tonight. In fact, if you were to leave this place and die on your way home, would you be going to heaven? Or would you be eternally separated from God? If you don't know that question, you can get it solved right now. Is anybody in this room that like to pray with me to accept Jesus into your life? Is anybody? I see that hand right there. Anybody else like to accept Jesus? Raise up your hand. Don't be afraid. Raise your hand up if you'd like to accept Jesus into your heart. If you'd like to accept Jesus into your heart, raise your hand up. I see that hand. For all of those who are sitting here and they raise your hand up, could you pray this prayer? You don't have to come out here. God knows your heart. Just pray with your heart here. Can you follow my prayer? All of that that raise up your hand, just follow my prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I need your forgiveness. Lord, you said that if I would come. You would not turn me away. Lord, I repent of my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Lead me. And guide me. Lord, I thank you. For dying for me. Shedding your blood. So that my sins will be forgiven. Thank you that I am accepted into your family. I give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.